Can you scroll back up as you go through it? So the sanitary sewers, Tom talked about from the bid costs that we had until the costs that we're at now. These are the highlights of some of the bigger ticket changes that have happened since the plan was bid. And as the reminder for those who may not be aware, when we bid the project out, the plans were at a point of completion that we felt comfortable we could bid them, but they were not construction documents yet. So they were still preliminary. If I had to put a percentage on it, they're 90-95% complete plans that we used when we did the public bid in January of 18 as we went through it. So since they were bid, and they still had to finish up some approvals going through the various agencies that have to approve all these different plans, items were added to the plan that drove the cost as you go through. So the bridge lift under sanitary sewer, what that is because of the piping being publicly owned at the end of the day, the decision was made that we need to do something underneath those pipes in order to help support the weight so they don't settle and become a problem for public-owned infrastructure as we went through there. It's basically 2 feet of stone grid underneath there with a couple layers of reinforcement grid in there that got added to the plan that's underneath all the sanitary sewer pipes. My guess is off the top of my head, probably 1,800 feet of it, you know, through the site that we had to add that. So that was an added cost that was not part of the project when it began. There's additional piping was added to the project from where we thought the plan was close enough for the bid purpose to by the time it got approved, routes had to change, some of it being site conditions, the landfill, some of it some building changes that had moved. Some of it was its sizes had increased, but there were added footage to the sanitary sewer that drove the cost a little bit that way. The different types of pipe were changed as well from the bids that, if you see from the SDR 35 to an SDR 26, as you went through, it's a different type of pipe. It's deeper sanitary sewer. It's a thicker walled pipe. It was changed for the, so it doesn't crush under the weight of the backfill on top of it. With something else that changed that added some cost. Some stone maintenance roads were added that were not on the plan originally to get access for the city-owned infrastructure in order to get at those things to maintain them. That's just a highlight of a few of the big ticket items that changed on that particular line item. You guys want to have questions on each one of these sections as we go through? You want me to keep rolling? Or are there any questions on anything sanitary-wise? All right.
So real quick, too, I want one more thing I want to explain is this this miscellaneous other. I'm not Dick. I don't present the same way as Dick. I don't say that for any other reason. Just this negative 81, what I'm doing. When Dick had done it, he had allocated in soft costs to it. So soft costs are like, for anybody who doesn't know, they're engineering or architecture costs that go along with sanitary sewer. I don't choose to present it that way. And so what I have here is I have a sort of like a reconciling line item that just helps everybody understand what was occurring here. So
we get into storm sewer. From the same time frame that we talked about on sanitary, there were more footage of pipe added that was not on the original plan. By the time the stormwater calculations were complete, some of the piping had to get upsized as well. The biggest difference being our mainline storm sewer went from a 60-inch storm to a 72-inch storm pipe in about a 1,300 or 1,400-foot run of that, a lot of it through the landfill, that added cost as we went through that. And then along with that, the bridge lifts, the details, same as the sanitary, were added on the storm through all the landfill sections. And these pieces are all just it's a TIF-eligible stuff. It's the publicly owned, you know, storm sewer at the end of the day as we went through that.
Question on that.
Yes.
Can you talk about why you had an additional temporary storm grading pond and that whole extra added thing? Because typically what you do is you make the pond and then you make it oversized so when it fills up, you dredge it out during the construction phase, so you don't need. Why was there two ponds?
There was, so the temporary pond that was put in, it was because of the fact that we were trying to get buildings started before the primary pond was constructed. So we need, in order for a stormwater event, we need somewhere for the water to go temporarily. So we dug a temporary pond on the site, did a bunch of grading to get the water to go to that, and some piping to get the water to go to that, which is still functioning as of today. And it will function until the main storm pond comes online and is completed.
Why don't you just put it where the main pond is going to go? Because I think you had to take up more trees because of that, didn't you?
No, the temporary pond is up on top by the golf facility, so we didn't have to take out additional trees for that. But if otherwise we would have had, in order to start buildings, we would have had to dig the big pond and get in about 1,500 feet of storm sewer up to the top because it was so far remotely at the bottom of the hill.
Okay.
There's no way to get the water.
So basically it saved the extra drainage piping while you up on top, so you didn't have to...
Yeah, so somewhere water had somewhere to go during construction was the purpose of that. That was a timing thing that was not part of the original plan to go through that. So the bridge list we talked about, same as the other one. Some additional cut fills on that end, the pond had grown through the final calculations to get that through there. So that was additional work that had to get done, as well as part of that is the pond that's on the far north end of the property where we had to cut the trees for. The soils up there did not support weren't good enough to be able to hold the water in. So we had to overdig that pond, put a 2-foot clay liner inside underneath the bottom of that pond, which was not anticipated to go through. So there's a pretty hefty cost with that pond liner.
Had to truck all that soil in, the clay?
Yeah. It had to be a pond liner quality clay, and we did not have any on site to work with. So that all had to get trucked actually from Emerald Park on the south side of town to go through. So that was a cost that way to go through. And then the last item on there, the temporary grading, we kind of touched on that with the temp pond that went through there. So that's a short version of the some of the extra costs that were not anticipated from the front side on the storm sewer. The water, we had some changes with that as well from the pond or from the bid set, a big one being that the DNR had required to use a ductile iron, like an iron pipe for any of the water that was in or adjacent to any of the existing landfill. That was not contemplated at the time that it was bid. It was kind of honestly an odd one that we didn't think they would require that, but it's what they required, so there was a pretty hefty cost that came along with that. Yeah, to do that whole thing. There were some water mains and some looping of the water system that was not on our original plan that got added by the time the plans got approved. One of which being we had to connect, originally we were keeping the water system south of Rawson separate from the north, and it was required of us that we connected water underneath Rawson Avenue. So if you go out there right now, there's that cut through the road, that's what that was from. We had to bring water across Rawson Avenue to do that. There's a couple other areas of site that it was required of us to put in a continuous loops of water so they could backfeed it from both directions. That was not our original plan. So that added some cost to loop that water as we go through that. So some of the bridge lifts, that was similar to the other ones that we had to do some of that. We had difficulties in site conditions on getting the water underneath Highway 36. And if you're not aware of that, our water is being fed primarily to the site from the car wash on 76 in Rawson. So we had to go down the hill. We had to bore underneath Highway 36 to bring a 12-inch water line over to the site. There were some changes due to the site conditions out there that had caused. There were some additional costs that came through that. And then some of the water looping that we kind of touched on already up there before. Any questions on the water? Am I going too slow, too fast? Is this good? All right, speed up. The streets. The streets haven't had a ton of changes from the beginning to the end, but there's been changes in the quantities of asphalt, the shape of the roads, the pitch of the roads, the width of the roads that changed from the original bid plans that we had gone through. Some of that was driven by the offsite requirements in the DOT. We actually had to do it in some more intersections that were not contemplated at the time to go through, so there's, as you can imagine, more cost for that. There were some changes in the asphalt type, which added some costs. There were under drains, like some drain tile at all the curb lines in the public roads that were added that were not part of the original to go through it. The drain tile we talked about, due to those widening of the roads and areas, we had to add a couple of retaining walls through the sites. The street lighting had changed, the specs had changed from the time we bid it to the time it was approved on what we had to do for the public street lighting, some additional trees, some utility costs on that way, all added cost to the roads. The shared parking didn't have a ton of changes on it. That stayed actually probably the closest to the original bid set on that, other than some widening some sidewalks and increasing some quantity from some squeezing in some additional parking stalls, stuff of that nature. That stayed pretty close. The county methane system, and that was, this is broke up into a couple different areas. So this is a piece the owner had purchased directly with the actual contract to install the methane system itself, but there was some other work along that we had to do, and there's some extra cost due to the site conditions on that, and some additional passive venting of the parking lots that was required by the DNR added some costs. And for those that may not be aware, all of our big parking lots out there do have passive methane venting underneath them to make sure we're not pushing any more methane to the perimeter of the property, where those areas were grass before the methane could vent to daylight. And those, we got under drains in those parking lots to allow that methane to do the similar action that way. The methane transfer line, that was one that actually went down in cost, where we have to bypass on one of the perimeter parts of the site. We were able to shorten that run of the relocation for that one. That's a line going from Jones Island down to from the landfill that runs through the property. The Oak Leaf Trail is another segment of this that hadn't changed a whole lot, just a little bit of width here and there and some final details to get that approved. Sound and light modifications, that's all the stuff that we did implement on the light on the field, as well as the sound stuff, which is being it is being implemented per the county agreement for anyone in gray area on that one. That equipment's all ordered and going through. Apparently we're done. I was about done anyway, so. You aren't trying to hurry me up. Are there questions on anything that I can address specifically? All right, so then I guess the other piece of that, there's the remainder of the, there's some, it, this details a little further, some of the non-TIF project, you know, parts of the site that we went through, some of the costs that go through that, some of the utility costs, engineering, legal, professional, some of the other miscellaneous soft costs as Tom alluded to when he went through it. Does that help in any way explain how we, where we were at to where we're at now as we go through it?
Absolutely. Thank you.
So again, this spreadsheet, I'm sorry, hold on a minute. Well, this spreadsheet will be online under the testimony.
First off, I'm not sure what I missed. I did have another work obligation. Many of us, this is full-time, this is a part-time position for us. We have full-time obligations outside of this. I did have another commitment that I had to be at tonight, so that's why I was late. But anyway, thank you for bringing this. Now, I don't think it was unreasonable for us to be asking for this for the last several months. I mean, when we're just given the $5.2 million, well, it's this and it's that and it's whatever. So this, and I'm just seeing it for the first time, but thank you for this.
Thank you.
I'll try to speed it up. I know you guys have a meaty agenda. So just other updates. Ian will give an apartment update at the end here, but just other updates. One that we're really excited to announce, and we got approval to announce it this evening, is we signed a letter of intent with the Miracle League, which is it's a part of a venture with YMCA. Also, the Brewers are involved, but it's a there's 300 Miracle League fields in the United States. It's for special needs. It's essentially enabling special needs folks to kids primarily to play baseball, and they're currently their league is in Brown Deer at the YMCA complex out there, and they're trying to move out of that location, and their first choice was the Rock. So this comes with a bit of a caveat in that we've essentially, our letter of intent calls for us to give one of the net new league fields two in phase two. We still have to approve parking. If we can't do that, I think I'd probably convert one of the existing ones, but it's just a really special project, kind of, I think, speaks to kind of what we're doing here. So if folks are not familiar with Miracle League, I encourage you to go look this up. There's great videos out there. Just really sort of, I think, speaks to kind of what we're doing here. And now I'll attempt to answer some of the questions that the opposition or citizens brought up, I would say. So this issue of children health issue, I my interpretation of that was largely around hours of operation. And I think, Kristen, I think you did a good job of answering that, which is it kind of depends what we're talking about. I mean, as an example, the umbrella bar has been open. We've had the ability to open that till 2 a.m. since we started. Each product's a little different. He brought up the Medicine Mallards as an example, called them a minor league baseball team. They're not. They're a summer collegiate baseball team that plays in the Northwoods League. We're a minor league baseball team, so we're somewhat... They have 6:05 starts. Ours are on weeknights. It's kind of a mixed bag of 6:05 starts, 7:05 starts. We're going to let the kind of market help us dictate this, so we're certainly open to this dialogue. Unfortunately, the schedule's set this year, but we're certainly open to it. But games, you know, much like the Northwoods League, I mean, while we'd love to be out of there in 2.5 hours, it kind of depends. You can't shut the game off. But Rock League baseball ends at 10:30. We've got, you know, HHE's got its own permit. We've got the summer concert series, which ends at 10:30. I believe, I can't remember the golf thing, that ends at like 12. I can't remember what that one is, but we've already talked about that. So I think we're well aligned with this notion of children health issue. I mean, a lot of this is that it's a family entertainment product, so the last thing we ever want to do is put that in jeopardy. But I think that's something we all have to kind of manage together. The issue on fireworks, there's a rumor out there saying every Friday night's fireworks. That's not what we put forth to you guys. That has not been approved yet. I think we asked for 7 different fireworks, if I remember correct, which, remember, it's a shortened season because we start a month later, but typically we'll ask for 9 to 10, which is not every Friday night. But this is, again, it's kind of best practice with our baseball league, but again, you guys have to approve it. So cost overruns, which Dana brought up, we had hit on that. The ski hill, she calls it, we've been over this with Dana a few times, she calls it a public safety issue. It's not. We've been doing this, I mentioned this last time, the Plan Commission and Common Council. We've been operating the ski hill the same way it's been operated since the 1980s, and we're mandated to operate it when we did the deal with Milwaukee County Parks. Unfortunately, we got a complaint this last year where one of the groomers was making, you know, apparently was making some noise, so somebody called in a complaint. There was no real record of our ability to groom, so we just thought we'd be good neighbors and just say, let's get that documented. So we came back and said, hey, listen, we've been doing this for over 2 decades, but we'd like to at least just make sure we've got the paperwork in order. So what we said is we'd like to groom at hours that were not open, which are the nights, you know, I think we also said we're going to start on the west side of the operation first, but this is very common practice with ski hills, regardless of what Dana said, but it's also, you know, something that's been going on for almost 2.5 decades. So the other piece, again, just kind of upsets me, frankly, is this breach of contract stupidity. We're not a breach of contract, and I'd wish that she'd stop saying that. As a matter of fact, I believe Quarles and Brady has gone on record saying that we are not a breach of contract. So Dana, if you could please remove that from your language, I would certainly appreciate it, because my reputation is important to me. So I think I've covered all of the other pieces. The other piece that I want to talk about, because I know it's hit some of you folks, is this, I'm going to call it a hit piece on the Rock, which was put into Greendale, and it's asked for Greendale residents primarily to contact Chris Abley and the supervisor Discunis. So the piece is called The Rock, Did You Know? It also says these are facts, not merely opinions. So I'll just read them off because I want to give a response to it, because it's out there, and I know that we've already gotten approached by the county supervisor. First bullet says several 170-foot light poles glaring into your exact neighborhood once the golf range is completed. Those aren't light poles. Those are net poles. There's no lights on them. So that's just, it's not a fact. It just hasn't looked at the spec. Our lights come off the top of the building. So those are not light poles. Light poles that are just, they're for netting purposes. So what you call the fact one is not a fact. Fact two, noise and light pollution studies eliminated from original county contract means of amendment. This was done by Alderman Steve Taylor specifically, despite this being a key contract provision that Greendale needed to agree with approve. This is a little bit of a sticky one. The studies have been done. When the city said that we needed to have light and sound studies, this was prior to our negotiation with Milwaukee County. But in the end, we did a study, and we negotiated, as represented in our contract with Milwaukee County, that we would meet certain limits. We agreed on a certain decibel level for sound, and then obviously the light ordinance we agreed, negotiated in our development, or our agreement with county, that we would abide by Franklin light standards. So this study resulted in an action plan, and that action plan called for dozens of shields to be put on our current baseball fields, which we implemented. It also, we went with LED lights for the stadium, but again, anytime we add a new light to a building, it has to go back through plan commission, and the whole light study has to happen. In terms of the sound study, again, that was in the agreement, and we said we would hit certain decibel readings, and we would put in monitoring devices. We agreed to that, negotiated. It's going to happen over the next 2 months. So this idea, this notion that we didn't do this study is just it's not true. Study's been done. We've got an action plan. We know what the rules are. It also says that fines were reduced, so the developer has no real worries about complaints. Actually, I have great worries, right? Because every time somebody complains, I'm up here having to explain myself. And I never remember renegotiating. To me, the fines, I don't know where that came from. The fourth point was bad cover bands blaring music into your yards at all hours of the night. First off, those are good cover bands. If you've been out there, they're pretty good. I mean that because we pay good money for these folks. Second, these are not all hours at nights. We have an agreement with the city to end at 10:30. The next one says developer changing operation hours and use of snow equipment. I think we've already talked about that one. Access to the Oak Leaf Trail, cut off developer's discretion with no cares. The Oak Leaf Trail, as you recall, was put in right before we started construction. This is a construction zone up there, both Milwaukee County and us as the developer. It's just unsafe to have people up there. Riding on the Oak Leaf Trail, plus half of it doesn't exist. So this is not that we don't care. It's actually quite the opposite. We don't want somebody getting seriously injured up there. So that's the reason why we decided to close that section of the Oak Leaf. And then the last one is expect a huge decrease in your quality of life with property values likely plummeting. I mean, that's opinion. So that's the piece out there floating. It's created a lot of energy, I think, for a certain number of you officials, too. But I just wanted to at least go on record because it's a part of the point of this discussion for our updates is also to, discuss some of these rumors that are out there. So, Ian, give a positive apartment update.